The sweet fields and the clear blue skies of autumn turn windy and rainy and then snowy. Samhain marks the turn of the wheel of the year in which the days, which have been getting shorter, now become shorter than the nights. The leaves that were so brilliantly colored a couple of weeks ago have now mostly fallen to the ground and are busy decomposing so that the sugars they still hold can nourish next year's seedlings. And the sugars in the branches they fell from are migrating down to the tree's roots, where they'll overwinter as the trees go dormant. The crisp winter air took a sudden dive toward actual cold this week, and we changed our clocks back to regular time. Many pagan traditions also say that Samhain is the time when the veil of the world between the worlds of the living and the dead are the thinnest. And people celebrating Samhain often speak the names of their beloved dead in sacred space to honor them. It makes sense that this time of transition in the world around us, from abundant life to apparent death, would be the time we think about our loved ones who have crossed the veil. And Christians celebrate All Souls Day today by praying for the dead. They say prayers not just for family members and friends who have passed, but for all souls who may be passing time in purgatory or languishing in darkness. And All Souls is the third day of the fiesta of Dia de los Muertos, when families gather at the graves of their beloved dead to keep them company. This happens after two full days of celebrating those relatives and inviting them into their homes, celebrating with each other in community, visiting each other, sharing food and story and love, so that they can all hear the remembrances and the prayers said for them, those dead relatives. So Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, is the day our people come back to us. For children, this is literal. They believe that their dead siblings and cousins and parents and aunties and uncles and grandparents come to visit them, that they've brought them back for a night with their love and candles and tasty treats, and this brings them comfort and joy. As we grow up, we start to understand the physical implications of death. And this idea of visits from our beloved dead become metaphor. And the setting aside of a day to celebrate the idea that they are still with us becomes a day when we have a chance to remember all those wonderful things we loved about our people. We get to tell stories about them and laugh fondly and keep them close in our hearts. Because what is remembered lives. Of course, we know that not everything we remember about our dead is wonderful. We don't always laugh fondly. Those who came before us were flawed being human, and sometimes we argued or angered or worse. The impacts of those things don't go away when somebody dies, and sometimes we don't want to remember when we've had difficult or even harmful relationships. And we are resilient being human. We have resources in other relationships or in connections to other sources of strength. Sometimes it's these resources that bring us comfort and joy, and sometimes a person's passing can bring relief or healing or even maybe forgiveness. And we can find a way forward. The idea of gratitude for those who have come before isn't limited to our dead relatives either, like the Christians praying for all souls. Those we think of as ancestors have been in relationship with us in many different ways. Yes, they've been members of our families, but they've also been members of our communities and people we admire, and people who've simply impacted our lives in some way. If we're all related in this interconnected web of a universe, then all who go on before us are ancestors. And if we're all physically connected by those atoms that bounce between us, that idea that pieces of Jesus and Buddha and Gandhi are within the air we breathe and our own bodies, then quite literally, those people are our ancestors. We have ancestors in this community, for example, those who founded this congregation and whose vision continues through us. I also see ancestors when I look up into the night sky, knowing the points of light I see are from stars that have already imploded, and knowing myself to be made up of those atoms that were born in those stars that no longer exist. The death of stars far away is part of the great recycling. The universe lives through me and through each of us, and we have eyes with which we can look upon it. So when you remember your people who have passed, when you have done your remembrances in your bowl of water, what do they bring when they come back to you? We took time earlier to say aloud the names of some of our beloved dead, and I invite you now to take a few moments of silence to consider the gifts they have given you, or, if you can, the gifts you have received because of your relationship with them, perhaps from others. Before we move into silence, I want to mention too that sometimes the loss of our people is so fresh or so close that we can't yet celebrate the life that has passed or think about their gifts without falling into grief. I want to acknowledge the loss and the sorrow in this room, and I want to offer my presence to anyone who needs to work through grief after the service. Please come and talk with me. I'll sound our singing bowl to mark the beginning of our silence together, and I'll sound it a second time to bring us back into the room.